As you can see from your bulletins, we'll be looking at two passages this morning. The first in Exodus 18, if you want to put your finger also in Acts 6, we'll turn there. You've probably figured out one concerns elders and the other concerns deacons. And so Exodus 18, we begin in verse 13, and remember, this is God's holy and inspired word. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God, and when they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws, and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace." So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Acts chapter 6, the first 5.5 verses. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we shall appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. Congregation, if you're not familiar with the Presbyterian term, the sermon I'm about to preach is called an installation sermon. There's a great danger in preaching installation sermons. And the danger is that all preaching, if it is to be Christian preaching, is to be about Jesus Christ. It is to exalt Christ. And installation sermons converge on not exalting Christ, but exalting people. We can talk all about the men that are about to come forward and be your new elders and deacons. Or it can be all about the system. We can talk about how great Presbyterianism is. Look at us. We have the best. Now, we're not denying these men are worthy of honor, and we're not denying that Presbyterianism is good and helpful. But we must exalt Christ in our sermons and not people or systems. In other words, in preaching on an installation, we must not miss the forest for the trees. We must remember the big picture in what is happening and how that exalts Jesus Christ. So we're going to start with the trees and then move to the forest to see the big picture. Both elders and deacons are introduced in these two passages I read to you. In Exodus 18, we have elders in Israel from that time forward. So elders never need to be introduced again after they are introduced here. And in Acts 6, from the moment that these men are set apart for diaconal work, there never has to be an explanation when you see the word deacon in the Bible. You're expected to go back to Acts 6 and see these men being set apart for the diaconal ministry. And so both of these offices that we see come, or they arise out of a desperate need. So Moses is overburdened. He's received the law from God, but the law is very detailed. So people have a lot of questions how it applies to their situation. There are a lot of disputes between the people. And so they are coming to Moses, and they're standing in line for Moses to settle all these disputes. And, of course, in the book of Acts, the apostles are overburdened. Now, in the book of Acts, not only are they preaching regularly, but they are doing diaconal work. They are taking the offerings, and they are distributing them to the poor. Now, it says here that the Hellenist widows, those were the Greek-speaking Jews who were in the church in Jerusalem, and there was some tension. There always were between the Israelites who lived in Israel and then those who lived outside of Israel who were more Greek in their cultural upbringing. So we don't know if this accusation actually was true. Were there some being overlooked? It probably was not, but some felt that way. But some felt like the less Jewish widows were not receiving the money at the same rate, the help, as the more Jewish Israelite widows. And so both offices arise out of a need. In other words, the Lord chose to introduce these offices in answering a great need the church had. Instead of introducing the offices first and then later seeing the need, first we see the need and then God's answer, which are elders and deacons. Now, a little closer look at Exodus 18. This chapter is out of order chronologically, and you may have noted that, because in chapter 19, we have the giving of the law from Mount Sinai. And yet here in chapter 18, they already have the law, and Moses is ruling by the law. Often in these books, matters are arranged thematically instead of chronologically. And so Jethro is Moses' Gentile father-in-law, who is watching Moses judging all day these decisions, and he's watching people waiting in line all day to get to Moses. Notice his concern is both for the people and for Moses. Verse 14, he mentions the people. These people are standing all day. And then in verse 18, Moses, you'll wear yourself out. You cannot do this alone. And so we see two principles here. First one is the church should never be ruled by one man. God introduces the idea of a plurality of leaders that lead together. Secondly, that no one in the church should be overburdened. Notice his concern among the people of God is these people shouldn't have to stand all day. And if you want to use this as a proof text against really long services, I'll let you. But the concern is not to be overburdened in the service of God. And so he's concerned both with the people and with Moses. And so his solution is verse 21. Appoint elders. They will be known from here on as elders. Choose men who fear God, men you can trust, and who will not be partial to the rich or the poor. They will hate a bribe, and let them do what you're doing. Let them apply the word to the people, and you continue prophesying and bringing the word from the Lord. Now, this matches what happens in Acts chapter 6, the same type of qualities in the men. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom. Men who are trustworthy, who have faith in the Lord, who will not show partiality and will serve the Lord and not love gain or money. Now notice what both these incidents have in common, and that is that one of the reasons for these offices is that someone else can deliver the word full time. Moses, Jethro says, you should be working as a prophet. You should be bringing the word from God, and these men should be carrying the burden of with the people, of overseeing them. And the same thing what the apostles say. We as apostles must devote ourselves to preaching, it says here in our passage. Someone else then has to be in charge of the distribution of the offerings to help the poor in the church. And so these become perpetual offices throughout the Old and New Testaments, even though the priests and the Levites were more in charge of the diaconal work in the Old. Now, there is one difference here between what happens with Moses and what happens in the book of Acts. Notice Moses chooses the elders himself. But notice in Acts 6 here, the congregation chooses the deacons. Choose amongst yourselves seven men. And what we have here is a decentralization of authority from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. As we move from the Old Covenant, Moses-like figures, in the New Covenant, it's more decentralized. People are more involved. You chose your elders. You voted on your elders and deacons. They weren't appointed to you. And that's one of the changes we see from the Old to the New. Now, what is the big picture here then? Well, both offices, first of all, are not simply good advice. Even though Jethro uses the word advice, we see that this was from the Lord. And it's recognized through the rest of Scripture as being from the Lord. So it's not something we can simply say, well, that was Jethro. That was an interesting thought, but I have a better idea. We won't use elders, and I'll be in charge of it all. I'm not telling you what I really think about church, but I'm saying somebody could think that. But even though the word advice is used, we are hearing from the Lord how his church is to be led through the office of elders. And that's all the way until Christ returns. And so the big picture is we see Christ's love for his sheep through the advice given of church officers. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians 4, it says, when Christ rose from the dead, not only did he send his Holy Spirit on his people, but he sent officers. He gifted men for service. And there the context is pastors. But in the context of church officers, it is people God has gifted for the service of the church. And this is a direct gift from the risen Christ in heaven. That's how he is loving and providing for his people. And so when we speak of Christ's love, we should not speak of Christ's love only with regards to our initial salvation, our justification. It's not as if God says, all right, you're forgiven of all your sins. Now I can move on to someone else. Once you're forgiven, you are adopted into his family, and like a father, he begins caring for you. You're an adoptee, and he is your adopted parent. And what does an adoptive parent do? He cares now for his children. And so how does he care for us? Well, even though Christ is in heaven, he gifts certain people for office, and through the calling of the church, he gives them to you to serve you in these ways. That's why when we elect and ordain men like we do this morning, you should be thinking of Christ and saying, thank you, Christ, for providing and caring for me. But one of the objections to all this you hear in the modern church is, if we're all filled with the Spirit, if we're all equal in the sight of God, why do we need officers? Why doesn't the Lord simply say, care for one another, rule yourself, lead yourself, or lead one another equally? Why do we still have to have elders and deacons? Well, there are two answers. The first is the most simple, and that is because God said it. Right, aren't there a lot of arguments you can just end that way? God said it in the Bible. And who am I to tell God, that's really not a good idea, God? God created church officers, and that more than anything else should be a reason that we take it seriously. But the second answer is, that's how you care for people. If you want something important done for someone, you don't just generally say, I hope someone does it. Even at your job or your business, if your boss wanted something unimportant done, he might say, you know, I'd like coffee ready in the morning. Would somebody make sure that happens? Okay, But if he wanted something really important done, this bill is due this afternoon, or our company goes under. You don't just leave it generally. Would somebody please take care of that? No, if it's important to get done, you find someone trustworthy, and you say, you do that. That is your special assignment to make sure it gets done. I mean, you wouldn't even want, if we were going to pick you up from the airport, you wouldn't want me to announce in church, hey, would somebody get so-and-so this week and leave it at that? You would be standing out there saying, I wish Pastor would have cared for me a little more carefully than that. You would have wanted me to get a specific person who I could trust would be there on time. That you care for people. And so that's how Christ cares for us. Not only does he give us generally the church to say care for one another, but to make sure it happens, he gifts and appoints certain men to be elders and deacons to take care of that, just in case. And so you see in the appointment of elders and deacons, you see that Christ saved us body and soul, and he loves us body and soul. Those are the two parts that make up man. He doesn't only care for our souls that spiritually we're right with God. He cares for us as whole human beings. And so he appoints deacons to make sure that we're fed, that the poor are cared for, that they can pay their bills and not go under. And so when you see the appointment of elders and deacons, you are exalting Christ. Christ loves me not only spiritually, but in the appointment of deacons, he loves me in my body. He cares for the whole person. And he's going to make sure that we are taken care of as his people. Even our book of church order and the way it describes these offices, the emphasis is on Christ and what he does. Let me read to you from our book of church order on elders. The office of ruling elder is based upon the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ, who provided for his church officers who should rule in his name. It is the duty and privilege of ruling elders in the name and by the authority of our ascended King to rule over particular churches and as servants of our great shepherd to care for his flock. You see, the focus is on the ascended King providing and leading through these men. And then our book of church order on deacons. The office of deacon is based upon the solicitude and love of Christ for his own people. So tender is our Lord's interest in their temporal needs that he considers what is done unto one of them, the least of them, is done unto him. And so in the beginning, the apostles themselves ministered to the poor. But after, in order that they might be able to devote themselves wholly to the word and prayer, they committed that responsibility to others, having directed the people to choose men of good report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And so as we lead to the point now where we bring these men forward, there are some admonitions to give you as well as to give these men. And to the men, we give the same admonitions as we see here. You three men are to serve the Lord first. You are to be careful of pride. This is not an exaltation of your egos. You are being placed as servants to serve the Lord and his church, to always serve their needs, but to be mindful of what the Lord requires. You are a gift to the church, but this gift can be returned. And there is a way to return gifts if elders and deacons abuse their authority. And we've all been in situations, if you've been Christians long enough, where church officers have either abused their authority or they've neglected their responsibilities. There are many damages to the people of God as well as God's name. And so this responsibility comes with a warning to you as officers to always humble yourself before Christ, confess your sins, ask God to use you, knowing that he will. And always remember that you are to be faithful to God first, because not everyone will like your decisions, but you are to be faithful to God and what the Word of God teaches. And to the congregation, you have to be careful of pride. You have to be careful of saying, well, I don't really need these people. I don't need elders and deacons. I'm fine on my own. Notice even Moses, how he humbled himself with the advice of Jethro. He didn't say, well, that's a great idea, but you're an outsider, and you're my father-in-law. We know how difficult it is to take advice from father-in-laws, right? And so Moses could have said, that's great, but I'm Moses. I'm a prophet. I'll decide how to run this congregation. No, Moses humbles himself and he says, I need this good advice. I didn't think of that. I needed somebody wiser to come along and correct me, because what I was doing was hurting the people of God. And so you need people to come alongside you as officers. You need elders to say, that's not quite right what you're doing, or I could help you to do it better. You need deacons to say, I can help you in the distribution of offerings. We can do it in a way that honors Christ and helps you most. Don't pride yourself to the point that you're afraid to ask for help from these men, because that's how God has deemed to do this, to minister to you. If it's good enough for God, then it's good enough for us. He created it. At the same time, once we do put our hands on these men and we install them, don't find a reason not to heed them, because they are human. They have feet of clay. They have weaknesses. You do not want to be looking to jump on every fault and say, aha, you see, I don't need to listen to them. I don't need their help. Look at their weakness. These are not perfect men by any means. None of us are. And so you have to be careful. But on the other hand, they are not so far exalted that they're beyond correction. You're not to be afraid of them. If they are doing something wrong or unwise, you are free to offer correction in that sense. There's a balance between respect, but not too much respect, that they're beyond reproving. Ultimately, though, we are to be thankful to our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to this earth, he died for our sins on the cross, and when he rose again, he ensured that his people would be taken care of. He will apply salvation to them, he will forgive them, he will prepare a place in heaven for them. He will make sure that they are filled with his Holy Spirit so they belong to him forever. He will put them in churches and give them Christian families and fellowship so they can help one another. He will appoint people to preach to them who can devote themselves full time to the Word of God, as we see in both Old and New Testaments, the importance of that. Well-trained pastors devoted to the Word, because the Word of God is central to your life. But on top of all that he gives us, the Lord says, I'm going to make sure that they're taken care of. I'm also going to appoint elders and deacons so that their spiritual needs and physical needs, we make sure that they will get done. The love of Christ is being exalted as we lay our hands and install these men. So we celebrate Christ and his love as we move on to the installation portion of our service.